Hello, welcome back to yet another episode of American Loser. It is the podcast that puts the spotlight firmly on second place. We are here, as always, at a shared universe studio in Eatontown, New Jersey. Mike and Ming taking great care of us wherever they are in the country. I have no idea. Those guys travel a little too much.
Which continent, which planet, whatever.
Yeah. It's weird because they're all over the world, but it's always the same thing. It's always like a Holiday Inn conference room, and they're surrounded by like Swamp Thing, and then you know a guy who invented Star Wars before George Lucas or something. It's always the same people and the same things, but they're traveling constantly. So anyway, we're over here. It's a Father's Day edition of the show. So I want to start off real quick before I introduce our guest. Happy Father's Day, Dad.
Well, thank you so much. You've always been my son.
Yeah, I've always felt like you were something of a father to me.
Right. And, there you go.
Something of a father.
Yeah, and I appreciate that.
You did some parental things over the years.
You try to raise kids, then they turn on you.
Yeah, it's no, just thanks for not going out for a pack of cigarettes and never coming back. It was nice of you. I appreciate that.
There you go. I'll be back.
And the
checking the furnace.
And that joyous sound behind the ones and twos is the only man that can be the sound engineer for this podcast, the big Kahuna himself. Kahuna, I want to say Happy Father's Day to you as well, buddy.
Thank you, man. Right. Thank you. I truly was looking forward to this. I miss you guys. It's been too long.
We miss you too. But again, my career is blowing up. Not comedy, excavation.
blowing up.
Yeah. I won't say what high school, but Kahuna, remember that episode of The Simpsons when Homer goes into the grease collecting business?
Yeah.
And the great line was that groundskeeper Willie was keeping a giant vat of grease that he called his retirement grease. well, at the very end, that blows up in the episode, and it gets all over the school. And I won't say what school it was, but my job got us called in to handle an exploding grease trap the other day. And I am happy to tell you guys, after 96 hours... I got the smell out of my nose hairs.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It was pretty rancid.
I'm so sorry.
Yep.
Oh, so. That's... Was it retirement grease bad?
It might as well have been. It was
right.
Very thick, very... And I'll put it this way, too. It was a community that has a very proud Spanish population. So a lot of delicious food is being made that contributes to a certain kind of additional smell to the grease.
So we'll
put it that way. But without further ado, I also want to introduce our guest here. Up from the great state of Virginia, Miss Loudon, 2018. Cousin Pam joins us.
Mrs. Loudon.
Well, if we say Miss, we'll get more hits on Instagram. beauty queen, lead singer, new age spiritualist. There's really not much
author.
You don't do. Author. We're working on.
And jewelry designer. Don't forget.
And jewelry designer. And also a mother of two of the funniest girls I know. Cousin Pamo joins the show. How are you, lady?
Oh, I'm so good. I'm so happy to be here, and I'm really proud of you. And I get to meet the Kahuna for the first time.
There you
I'm
go.
Infamous. All right.
Yeah. Live in poison.
So my theory is Kahuna's invited to Berkfest this year. Actually, he's going to be coming down to that.
Well, now he's an honorary family member.
Absolutely.
Hey.
Word.
Also, that's if you awesome. Want to be more of a family member, you'd flake on going because that's really, you know. But anyway,
I got somewhere to be that day. Actually, I got some shoots to do.
Save the excuses for after I give you the date.
Okay, that's fair. I'm just gonna go crawl in the corner.
Yeah. Nah. You'll have a headache that day.
I'm not also,
headache excuse.
Now, here's what's funny, Pam. You used to give, you still give advice a lot. One of the things that I always tell people. That always makes me laugh is that your advice to me anytime I was never feeling good was, you want to guess what it is?
Yeah, take a shit. It's all in the gut, baby. It's all in the gut.
The thing I've enjoyed about you since, because the relationship on mom's side of the family is that you and your brother Greg are kind of like me and Carrie's, my sister's older brother and older sister.
Right.
It's a little deeper than the traditional cousin thing on that. But it always made me laugh because you're a lovely person. You're very fashionable, all right? Very classy in a lot of ways. But then certain parts of the jersey come out.
I do have Jersey girl through and through.
Yep,
yeah,
you'll sit there. You'll be, and now you're down south because you live in Virginia and everything. And you'd think that maybe that southern living would get to you and the charm would get in there. And you're like, hey, let's get some fucking mint juleps going.
I do F-bomb a lot, I have to say. I have to watch my F-bombs, especially in front of the kids. But, they're immune to it now. They don't even try to say it.
That's
you
made it
they just
cool.
know it's part of mommy, lingo, and that's fine. And everybody that loves me knows that. I don't mean, and they say girls that curse a lot, you could trust them more. So You can fill me with your
wait a minute.
Depressive thoughts and
I'm
all
going
that.
Back. I don't think my ex has ever cursed.
Well, you got to get a girl that curses, or else she's out.
Well, now you telling us to shit to feel better is almost in one way is that's because you eat incredibly clean the way that you eat. Mm-hmm. It's almost frustrating.
Right? It really is.
And there's a lot.
What
of
does
this,
she end up bringing to Berkfest?
I've never been to Berkfest. I don't think I've been around since you guys have had it, or if I was around, I was out doing something in like clubs or something.
Yeah, how long you been in Virginia?
Oh, maybe if we're married, 2001, 18 years-ish.
Going to be a lot of math on this episode too. By the way, just warning you now.
Do you find yourself missing Jersey sometimes, or do you love Virginia?
You know what happens? I come, I get my fill. And then when I get back to Virginia, I kiss the ground because, you know, I like to stay away from drama and all that. And, you know, I just take it in because Jersey is a little punchy as far as like people on the road. They're a little bit more tense than Virginians, I would say. So when I get back home, I just feel like then I'll get into my routine and I'll be like, oh, I miss my Jersey. I got to go back.
Well, I think you want to come up here, get your hair did, get a Taylor ham, egg, and cheese.
Right. Well, get pork roll.
I don't need any Taylor ham anymore because I'm, you know,
you mean pork
pescatarian.
Roll?
So, yeah, pork roll.
Now this almost falls back into our topic here real quick. Uh-huh. So, pescatarian. So, you eat very clean. And then there's a lot of – you've always been interesting to talk to about stuff like kind of the New Age spiritualism, all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. Different things. I mean, were you like a power crystal person or?
No, it just started. I think it started when we were really young. Grandma had a really good friend. Grandma Dickey had that's our grandmother, mom's side, had a really good friend that was like an aunt that was into astrology. And she was also into reflexology before people were really into it in the 1970s. Now I'm dating myself. But she actually did our astrology charts when we were kids and all that. And I don't know why I just got so into it. And I remember being in my teenage years buying books about it and being really into it and reading about people and their signs and this kind of thing. And then I don't know why. I would just feel things and predict things and they would happen in my head. I wouldn't share it with people. And then things would happen and I'd be like, oh, I knew that was going to happen. Where I tell people, then when I got older, I would tell people things and they wouldn't believe me. Oh, yeah, right. And then it would happen. So,
well, I got big on, I bought a book that made me think of you because I bought it was Dream Interpretation, Dad.
Yeah.
And so what I would do is whatever topic was occurring in your dream, you would look it up in this dream dictionary. It would tell you what it meant. So
right.
I had this recurring dream about a gun that I was trying to pull the trigger of and the gun would never go off. And I looked at it and it turns out I'm gay.
Oh, it's good that you're coming out on Father's
Day. Yeah.
So, Kahuna, is there any like recurring themes in your dreams you can think of off the top of your head?
A lot of flying.
Hang on, let me look that one up. Let's look up flying here for a second. Mm-hmm. Turns out you're gay too, bud.
Oh, weird. Fuck.
Yeah. No.
Fuck. Oh, well.
No, well, maybe you guys can get together then after the show.
Yeah. I thought I had everything together. Now I discover this. Great. Oh, well.
Roomies, but it's cool because the New Age stuff is very interesting. I've always enjoyed that, and then there's these ideas of reincarnation, deep spiritualism, mm-hmm. all this other stuff that's going to go on here. Now, when you're thinking of this stuff, because it's weird, it's both modern and ancient,
right?
Now, when you think of this, where does your mind go typically? Like in terms of the what part of the country do you think this is really going on? Because when I hear all about the New Age shit and everything like that, I'm immediately sitting there like, all right, so vegan coffee house. Kids from Brooklyn with their yoga mats hanging over their shoulders, growing their beard out, and then, you know, using patchouli oil.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I'm seeing.
Well, so as far as things that I talk to other people about and things that I'm following and that kind of thing, the Earth is actually changing. So Mother Earth is changing, and she's sending her light workers and star seeds, and they're basically kids coming in and being different from the old generations.
This is also loosely planets, the plot of Battlefield Earth.
Exactly. So they're more enlightened, actually. I mean, if you talk to my kids or any of your cousins, I'm sure they're just a little bit more mature, I think, in a sense, than we were when we were kids. Like, less naive, I would say. And I don't know if it has to do with the internet or they're just born like that. I mean, they just say stuff like Gigi says stuff. My daughter Gigi will say stuff that I'm like, where the heck did she find that? Where did she come up with that? So anyway, I think that it's just people getting more aware of the effery that's been going on in the world.
Efferies. Oh, nice. Yeah, nice avoidance.
The fuckery,
there.
And people are learning to eat better because we've been basically trained by the people that are making money, that supposedly, you know, to, you know, eat McDonald's and all these box foods for money. And we should be eating things and, you know, that are plant-based and not eating so much meats and this kind of thing because it's making us sick.
Well, it's like when I went on to the paleo diet, I lost 70 pounds because I felt just friggin' good and you're eating stuff that's kind of real. Mm-hmm. And so I believe in a lot of that stuff. Now, I've had other people that talk about, you know, chakra aligning.
Yes.
And then predicting your future from the stars and all that other shit. Mm-hmm. Now, when we think of that, like I said, my mind takes me to Williamsburg, Brooklyn, because that's just kind of where I've seen some funky shit go on. But it's very weird to me, too, because apparently one of the guys who's considered the father of the New Age movement, if you will, in America, you don't quite think that it's going to be taking place in deep in the Bible Belt over in deep into Kentucky. Mm-hmm. Christian County, Kentucky, to be particular. That's where this week's American Loser story is going to take place. This guy lives about an hour north, or lived, I should say, about an hour north of Nashville, Tennessee. Now, LP, you've been to Nashville before, right?
I have, yep.
Now, question, is that an open container area?
That's country western mecca, if you will.
Now, they let a dirty Yankee like you sit in the Grand Ole Opry, is that correct?
Well, pay the price you can get in. Yeah, they pretty much are not, you know, excluding anybody as long as you got the green to get in.
Well, the Burks, going all the way back to the first Burke that came to America,
right.
Which would be that was
Patty Patrick.
Patrick Francis Kelly, right?
No, Patrick Francis Burke.
Patrick Francis Burke, got it, okay. So now what's interesting here, when he was down south, he was hanging out with this fellow by the name of William Tecumseh Sherman. You know anything about William Tecumseh Sherman down south, Kahuna?
Do I look like I know anything about William Tecumseh Sherman? How the hell did you say his name?
William Tecumseh Sherman. He's one of the greatest generals in the Union Army, and he invoked what is known as a scorched earth policy, where he literally burned his way. He burned down the city of Atlanta. And it was total war, which was the way he is.
So he was a firebug that made it legal, in a sense.
When the Civil War is going on, and you're trying to.
He discovered he liked fire, realized he could make that work in wartime, and was like, I could make this a living.
There's a bit of a Genghis Khan thing.
It makes a really good movie called Gone with the Wind.
Also true.
With the burning of Atlanta.
But so what we're talking about today here is that right outside of about an hour north of Nashville, Tennessee, deep in Kentucky here, we got this fella by the name of Edgar Cayce. You ever hear of him, Cones?
No. In discussions here in the beginning a little bit, but no, I know nothing about Edward Cayce.
Well, here's where he gets fascinating right away. So we're talking about this New Age spirituality and kind of the ultimate sense of, I'm going to quote something that he referred to as the universal consciousness. All right? Maybe that's what you're talking about too with the kids. The kids today, they seem to know more shit. Mm-hmm. Now, somebody once told me, goes, kids today know more, but they don't understand more.
Maybe.
That I thought was interesting. They can say things, but they're not like principles that they completely comprehend, which is kind of how I know when a word, I can use context clues to figure out what a word might mean, but mm-hmm. I'm not going to use it correctly, you know. Mm-hmm. It's my $10 vocabulary words that pop up every now and then, but there's no sense in being obstreperous here the rest of the show. Let's just move on and have a good time.
He's been saving that one.
So, born near Hopkinsville, Kentucky, about an hour north of Nashville, like I said, Edgar Cayce was born on March 18th. Tough St. Patrick's Day for his mother, let's be honest, all right? Everybody's out there having a good time, and you realize just the very next day you could have been drinking?
That's it.
So, March 18th, 1877, one of six children to farmers Carrie and Leslie Cayce. Carrie and Leslie, that means he was raised by lesbian parents. Did you know that? You didn't know that?
No.
Very progressive for the times. Now, Leslie is also a man's name at this time. Kind of went away. I don't know any dude's name Leslie anymore.
Thank God.
Leslie Nielsen was the last one.
Right.
Yeah, from the files of police
comedian,
squad.
So.
But Edgar was an interesting guy here. As a child, Edgar would tell people that he would often play with what he referred to as the little people.
That's where my mind goes.
Dad, in the sense of Darby O'Gill, who are the little people?
Well, the little people are the part of the spirit world, if you will, the leprechauns. And the Americans would call it the leprechauns. Over in Ireland, they're also known as the fairies, but that takes on a different connotation in today's language.
Which my Irish girlfriend told me, Irish ex-girlfriend, I should say, from Ireland, told me that fairies over there, first of all, it's spelled differently. It's spelled with an A. And then over here we think of fairies, we think of Tinkerbell. Over there, a fairy could be something very devious and
right,
up and to no good in the right. woods kind of a thing.
Very Guillermo del Toro.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Demonic, stealing children and all that mm-hmm. type of thing. So,
yeah, the running joke in Ireland, by the way, was that if your baby cried a lot as a child, if it was colicky, that it was actually a fairy baby.
Right.
That your baby was kidnapped in the middle of the night and then the fairy baby was replaced.
It wasn't the...
That is just awful.
Not a lot of happy story. There's no Disney spin on that one just yet.
Yeah. Oh, my God. There's no Lucky Charms, incredibly delicious or whatever the heck it is.
I would love to see
at the end of the rainbow.
I would pay a lot of money to see Disney try and twist this into something really sweet, and then everyone's like, that's not what that is.
They've done it with other works. I hate to say that one. Now, Darby O'Gill's that famous story of him hanging out with the little people, and our boy Edgar says that he sees the little people, too. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the freaky one. This one starts off fast. So Edgar is a child. He's very young, less than 5 years old, and witnesses the accident on horseback that kills his grandfather, whose farm he's living on. So he watches his grandfather die, and then as a kid routinely tells everybody who will listen that his grandfather visits him regularly.
Mm-hmm. How old was he, do you know?
He was less than five when the incident happened with the horse that killed the grandfather. But Edgar he would routinely say that he could see through, this is what he would tell people, he never minded when his grandfather was around because he could see through him if he looked hard enough.
Hmm.
So if, like, the little people walked in, like, if right now, right down by the floorboards, we just saw, like, a little marching band come in of little people, Edgar Casey would not be freaked out by that. We'd be losing our goddamn minds, and Edgar's like, ugh, again?
Right. Yeah.
So reminds me of that episode of South Park, too, when they had the underpants gnomes. Yeah. Flows one profit. But the fairies,
he'd have all his imaginary friends, and he would be able to see his grandfather's mm-hmm. Spirit or aura or whatever you want to call it.
By the way, I did have an imaginary friend.
Did you?
And I had a near-death experience at 7. So there's something, I think there's a correlation between
there's
freaky
always some
things
sort of
with
trauma.
Kids, trauma, yeah. Something, and then having like a, I don't know, more galactic brain, I guess, or some kind of a thing on your life that you have to do in this mission. That's what I've always felt. So.
Well, my buddy Mike Cannon, hilarious comedian, he was just down at Uncle Vinny's this week, and we were hanging out on Friday, and he was noticing that whenever it's something he's developing, I won't go into too many details about the mm-hmm. project, but he was noticing that people who swear, like religiously, mm-hmm. Feed into these conspiracy theories. There's almost always a childhood trauma or the death of a loved one that's unresolved, that they lose themselves in the conspiracy theory rather than, you know, face the facts of the matter, if you will.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's hanging out with the little people. His dead grandfather comes to visit him. You know, fun kid to go hang out with, you know? That's what you want to do. Now, you had an imaginary friend as a kid, Pam?
Yeah.
What was
her name? Well, actually, I didn't remember her name until I met some dude years ago that was like a psychic-y type of guy, magician. He called himself a magician, and he said, oh, her name was Helen. So I said, oh, yeah, that sounds familiar.
Okay.
Pammy's got
we'll
some
go
stories that are going to raise the hairs
the
on
eyebrows.
Your arm today, Cahoons.
Yeah.
And it was...
Oh, jeez.
I'm giving you credit here. I'm not saying the eyebrow raise. Like, it takes a second to register it, but sometimes also the stories you tell me scare the shit out of
well,
me.
Well, sometimes I document stuff. I even write it down or put it on my phone just so that when it happens, I can say, see, and I put the date and everything like that. It happened.
So, Jesus.
Yeah. And it's only with people that I'm really close to or tuned, like I really tune in for some reason. And then I just go.
Like family and close friends.
Yeah, but then sometimes it's a celebrity that dies, and then I feel it, like they come to me, and I'm like, ooh, okay. And then I start getting all this information, and then I start writing it down like crazy. And I could be submerged in this for like a year. And then I study them, and then everything that comes to my mind, it's not like I hear a voice or anything. It's like comes to my mind, I write it down, and then it will start happening. Yeah.
Like the info will start to come out. Like, oh, mm-hmm. he told me this. Well, this is what ends up on the news in a couple
and
of
I
weeks.
And I always look for signs. I'm always aware of things that come to my attention, and then I'll hone in on it. Or let's say I'm in stupid dollar store, and I picked up a book, and it was on Clarence Clemens. That was one of the things. Now, all my friends were Bruce fans. I'm not particularly into the music. I like it. I'm not like a crazy rabid fan or anything like that. But all my friends are crazy for it. And one of my friends was best friends with them. So I said, oh, let me get the book and I'll read it. So I start reading it. And then it was like the little spirit came to me. Like I'm like an open book for this guy. And then I start writing things down. And then recently something happened that came to me then, and it's in my phone. It was in, like, 2013 now. Yeah.
And now so it's info out he, about...
Yeah, well, what? So I'll tell you one little bit. And this is just strange, and I don't know why I'm telling you this, but I guess I have to confess it here. So he said something about a musical. There's going to be a musical, and I, you know, I wanted to talk about my... He wants to talk about his life. He doesn't particularly... I think he felt like he wasn't ready to go. But he had to go. It was his time. But he said something about Bruce
Springsteen. This is Clarence Clemens.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I said,
I believe
okay.
Lady Gaga had him killed. That's just my theory.
He is a cool dude as far as I know, you know, reading about him and stuff. But
great
anyway,
saxophone player.
I don't know if it was my connection with one of my music friends. That's why it came to me. I don't know. There's like this link. But he spoke about a musical. And then now Bruce Springsteen has a musical on Broadway, which was not even, I think, a thought back when I wrote it down. Wow. So, yeah. And I just keep, you know, I just keep things there and let it sit.
Now, some of Pam's predictions happen a little bit easily. I don't want to freak you out, Coon, but when you pulled in the parking lot earlier before the episode, she goes, oh, my God, he's going to die in a car accident.
No.
And I said, when? And she goes, about 90 minutes from now. So just be careful on the way home.
Yeah, look at this expression. Like, that's
he's believing
you,
Kev.
Don't do
guy.
That.
Poor guy.
That's a big no-no.
That's not
See,
even...
it's weird, because, like, I oddly believe in this stuff, because, like, I'm not full-blown conspiracy theorist where I'm going to fall into the theory of, like, oh, why did this happen, and blah, blah, blah. But no, like, especially when it comes to, like, I guess astrology, there's some things I believe in. Mm-hmm. But, like, when before I was born, my mom and my dad got my star chart made. Mm-hmm. Like, this literal book that described me to a T without even knowing me. And then we were cleaning out the garage and I found it and I couldn't get past like page 10 because it was so accurate and it scared the living daylights out of me. I was like, this is, that paper is wrong. This is not right. This is not natural. I'm just going to hide this in the garage, possibly burn it in a couple of years.
Now, the critics of stuff like this, which Mr. Edgar Cayce gets super into, it's very cool. I actually wrote down some of his predictions that we're going to debate here in a second. But, one thing I thought was interesting is it was a professor. I forget what topic they were teaching, but they did a experiment, Dad, that I thought you'd get a kick out of, where he gave everybody their horoscope. Horoscope, I should say.
their
the horoscope
on horror.
Yeah, gave everybody their the correct horoscope for whatever, you know, their birthday was or their sign was. And he goes, now read this now. Is there something about it that seems like it's about you? And they said, oh, wow. Almost everybody's like, yeah, there is something. He goes, all right, so now trade horoscopes with somebody else who has a different sign than you. Read that and tell me if there's something in there that's vaguely about
talking
you.
Talking about you.
And because there's certain basic universal human traits that we all have here. But now, Edgar Cayce walks along because there's – in order to assess him the right way, I came in with – and I did a lot of this research last night, 2 o'clock in the morning by myself in the house. And you know when you have to get up and just make sure all the doors are locked because you're reading too much weird shit.
You know? Well, you're good, Kev. You learn quick.
I try, but it's a, you know, walk around and make sure everything's locked up, and then then you'll have this freak out moment because you'll say, like, oh my God, something's rubbing up against me. And you're like, oh yeah, I have a dog.
I need a dog. But when he starts talking to you, that
yeah.
See, you're lucky. When I get deep into working on either like a project, of music or film, I do get watched. And, like, I genuinely believe that. And I think it's my dad, because I'll never forget this. I was working in my room one day, and I'm working on a song, and then all of a sudden, like, you know, like that presence you get, that feeling like you're being watched? Mm-hmm. Like, straight up got that. Didn't think much of it until I heard my bed fully compress, like someone was sitting on it. And then I saw it, like, adjust. And then I was like, that's either my pop or my uncle. And I was like, listen, it's cool that y'all are here. You're freaking me the hell out right now. And I'm really trying to work on this because I'm getting paid for this. So please, maybe another time.
Right. Yeah.
The bed straight up uncompressed. Yeah. And then I didn't feel that feeling anymore. It was the wildest experience. Like, that type of stuff.
Yeah,
it's just
Kevin, I have to give you a relative story.
Uh-oh.
Okay, when Auntie Arx, our aunt, she was dying of cancer. And she was in the hospital. And she was hallucinating because they give a drug, right? So she says to me, because she calls us all birds, right? She said, oh, bird. She goes, get me my socks. She says, there's all these animals on the floor. And I just looked at her and I was like, oh, okay, she's seeing something. She really is. And then she goes, Grandpa Jordan's on the bed next to us. So I knew she was going to go soon. Because
shit.
She saw her father on the bed next to her in the hospital, which was a vacant bed, right. But he was sitting there. And then she also said some other things, little predictions I don't want to say because I don't want to put it too much.
Yeah, if you're looking for the normal, lighthearted, history-filled episodes, we're not doing that this week. I'm sorry.
You know, come on. There's got to be something to it. Just because people tell you, oh, that's quackery and it's crazy, it doesn't mean that. It just means that I think that we are more than people know that we are capable of doing. Because what did they do back in the day before computers? Come on. They looked up in the sky. They had to commune with God, and they got their answers, and they built Stonehenge and all that kind of stuff. So there's got to be something to it.
And then the conspiracy theorists were invented. And then the internet just made everything
the
crazy.
Naysayers. Naysayers.
But this is me before the internet, so you know that, Kev.
No, that's true. It's all good too. And now, so we've set up because what I'm happy you're here for, Pam. And then obviously the Cahoon is going to be firmly in your camp. I'm going to be the critic, and we're going to try to, you know, be. Now, I'm not accusing Mr. Edgar Cayce of quackery, as some people did, but we're going to try to be the...
There are some inconsistencies.
Yeah, we're going to try to look through him here and be skeptics, mm-hmm. and then you guys are coming from more of the well,
believers.
What do we know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Which is good. So that's we got a good dynamic here we've set up. Now, I do want to hop into Mr. Edgar Cayce here a little bit. His early on is pretty fucking weird, is it not, Dad?
Oh, yeah. I would think that that kid's a little different than... the other kids down the street.
Well, something that always kind of amused me here is that he's being visited by the ghost of his grandfather, hanging out with the little people, right? And now, whether it's just an act of imagination or if he truly was distracted by other, quote, beings, that may have been up for dispute, but Edgar's scholarly efforts were suffering from it either way. Imagine you open up your school books to try to pay attention, and there's, like, little people having a parade like we were just talking about.
Yeah, oh God,
hanging out over there.
Yeah, it makes it a little bit more.
Yeah, there's a little person shitting in the spine of your book.
You know, I'm looking at his picture, and I know we're talking about creepy, kooky, mysterious, and spooky. He straight up looks like a member of the Addams Family. If you look, if you add like a mustache.
If you look at Edgar Cayce's photo up on his Wikipedia page, it looks like underneath it should be a quote that just says "Hello, Clarice."
Right.
Oh my God.
So he's an interesting guy. Now at age 10.
He is a Pisces, so that's a water sign, and water signs feel more than other people. I'm Cancer. Kahuna, what are you?
I'm a Taurus.
Oh, okay. You're Earth.
The bull.
And I'm a terrible burden. Is that right, Dad?
You're a virgin, Kev. I know that.
No, at age 10, Edgar now begins attending church with his family. Now, imagine you're living in a small, rural farming town out in Kentucky, and all you have is your chores. And it's fun to live out in the outdoors and everything like that. I mean, you're spending a lot of your time up in the woods lately there, South Beach, Larry. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm convinced you're either still volunteering your time for scouting or there's another family.
Right, the second family.
But anyway, you don't have a podcast with any of them, do you?
Not that you know of.
It's exactly.
Oh, shoot.
We're going to find out on the charts. Yeah, your other son's right. Joe Rogan. So, interesting stuff's going on over here because imagine how much fun church has to be, where you can at least do a little singing. Everybody gets together. It's almost like going to the movies back then in this time.
Well, it's a day off from the chores, too.
Yeah, you're not busting your ass. Oh, yeah, of course, I'll go to church. Can't wait to go to church. Anytime that when it was leaf raking season, we would make sure that we volunteered to go to Sunday school and
you
all
had,
that other
you
stuff.
You had a lot of things to do.
Yeah, very, very busy
doing
on Sundays.
Chores around the house.
But now at age 10, like we said, he starts going into the church, and immediately he begins passionately and obsessively reading the Bible. This is a deeply Christian guy. This is very, very rooted in his beliefs here, and he feels that way his entire life. That's actually why he maybe doesn't have a bad reputation as some people could have, if you will. So he is passionately and obsessively reading the Bible. He would reread the Bible on a yearly basis.
So, like, people would think he's weird, but, like, they wouldn't say he was a bad man, necessarily?
Yeah, there's no – if you're looking for an angle here where he quote, breaks bad, Walter White style, you're never going to get it because he's a pretty – he's an
right.
interesting guy. There's no for-profit. There's no scams he's pulling. He's wrong about some shit. But it's innocently enough done, right?
Yeah, but early on, he also, like you say, he makes a vow to himself that he's going to read the Bible in its entirety for every year of his life. So mm-hmm. if he's 14, he's going to read the Bible 14 times over.
Which I don't know if you could do it.
That's
Kahuna.
Pretty tough. That's a
no.
That's a solid commitment for sure.
And I got things to do. I got a real headache.
And that's Genesis to Exodus too, which the Bible's a fascinating book too. Let's not knock that one too badly if we don't have to here. But Edgar does find church to be exciting, and he's reading his Bible out in his hut in the woods that he has. Right, same. So imagine you're hanging out
in the woods.
Your man cave out in the woods. Well said. And you're sitting there, and you got the Bible cracked open, which is in a sense a book of spiritualism and all sorts of other otherworldly things going
meanwhile,
on.
Meanwhile, at the Christian cave,
exactly. And this is the same guy who's haunted by his dead grandfather and the little people, and all of a sudden this beautiful winged woman shows up, a winged woman, and the woman tells him that his prayers have been answered. And asked him what he wanted most in the world. And Edgar told the, quote, woman that his dream was to help people, especially sick children. And the woman told him that he would become a missionary. So his calling. A lot of people had – even the priest, one of my favorite people on planet Earth, Der Schinork, the priest that I kind of grew up with at St. Mary's Church, he said that he had a calling one night, came to him in a dream. He's like, you have a purpose here. I've had some weird dreams where I'm like, they're trying to tell me something, and it's a lot of times it's our subconscious trying to unravel something. Like,
yeah. Didn't yours just tell you were gay? Yeah. Congratulations, by the way.
Yeah.
No, it's listen. I need a plus one for a wedding coming up soon. All right. So you go with me. I just feel like we'll both wear white tuxedos. But this winged woman appears to Edgar, who is maybe 11 at this time. And goes ahead and lets him know. Now, what are some of the other famous appearances in history? There's always imagine Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan appears to Luke Skywalker in the X-Wing fighter or whatever when he's going into the Death Star.
It was the fall.
We're big on this shit. Yeah. All right? It happens in the Bible all the time. There's the burning bush speaking to Moses. There's all sorts of stuff that goes on. Can you think of any other famous examples off the top of your head, Dad?
Saul to St. Paul was... a coming of enlightenment, if you will, that he came to his realization.
Exactly. Well, it happens in everywhere else, too. Now, behind me is the skateboard for the Big Lebowski.
there you go.
So, the Big Lebowski is the dude, is the main character of that one. But the stranger is played by Sam Elliott, who is – they never explain what he is. He's just a visitor. And some people think that he's a reincarnated version of a former life of the dudes. There's also – but we're big on this. We like this idea that we're being told something from beyond.
Another one that was more recent in history, which was another, we call it a past life brother of mine, we'll call him Prince Rogers Nelson. He had a
past life.
He was. And he also came to me. I know it sounds so crazy, but he had an angel come to him when he was 7, I think it was also, because he had epileptic seizures.
Okay.
And so the angel came to him. Now, this is a famous galactic musician telling you this story, not me, him, about his life and how the angel came to him and told him that you would not have any more of these seizures, and he never had any after that. So another angel story.
Now, this is actually interesting because there comes a time now with Mr. Edgar Cayce where he's going to start knowing these kind of weird and wacky things. Mm-hmm. What subject did you struggle with in school, Pam?
Oh, math.
Oh, one and the same over here.
Yeah.
So,
can I join your club?
Yeah.
It's, sweet.
Nobody here is good at math except for Larry.
Uncle Larry. Yeah.
No, not really.
No, the techie.
We struggled with algebra and such.
Mm. But maybe here's the thing. Maybe your spelling is so bad that we just think you're good at math.
X equals 3 anyhow, so keep that in mind. You're all good.
2 plus 2 equals fish, of course.
Not too bad either there. But now this is where it gets interesting here. That's not the end of these appearances from this winged woman that appears in front of our boy Edgar. A few days later, Edgar's school teacher files a complaint to the parents of Edgar, which results in, we're going to call it an intense tutoring session, Dad.
By the dad.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah.
Dad, can you think of any times you and I had a tutoring session where we worked hard to accomplish a goal and help me focus on schoolwork?
Jeez, Kev, I think we might be able to conjure up some image of that.
Well, during a, quote, refresher course on his spelling assignments, of which Edgar was bombing regularly, Edgar was under such stress that he fell out of his chair, Pam.
Mm.
He got knocked out of his chair by his father, who was just, why can't you learn this bullshit? Almost like a Homer Simpson choking bar. Ah, ah, ah.
Why are you little?
Exactly. So Anyway, as he falls down on the floor, this winged woman's voice appears in Edgar Casey's ear and says, if you can just take a rest real quick, we can help you.
Mm.
So there's now a we all of a sudden. That's not good.
It's a team.
Yeah. No. So it's you get a little nervous. Now there's more things getting involved you don't know about here. So Edgar convinces his father he needs to take a nap real quick. So he lays down, but he puts the book underneath his pillow and sleeps on top of the book. And when his father wakes him up shortly after to resume their, quote, tutoring, all of a sudden he knows everything.
Mm.
He has it all figured out. He's spelling words like a champion. He's almost ahead of the curve. He actually – it's so funny, too, because he goes from not knowing shit to knowing everything to the point where it annoyed his father so much that he knocked him out of the chair again.
Well, he must have been from Jersey, that father of his.
Yeah. Wouldn't surprise
me. Just a hands-on learning experience, that's all.
Oh, my goodness.
Now he hits him again because he goes, that's for making me think you're stupid, you know?
Okay.
Yeah, so anyway, pretty interesting on that one. Now there's this idea that Edgar Casey has now convinced himself of, that he can place a book underneath his pillow at night, sleep on the book, and absorb the information in the book.
Mm.
All right? Now, if that was true, I would know everything about Maxim magazine and Elle McPherson's Playboy.
And Hustler. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, where in Virginia do you live?
I live in Ashburn, Northern Virginia.
Well, don't give away too much. People are going to show up at your house.
Oh, God.
Yeah, you
please
got
don't.
We got fans. But yeah, yeah. It was just – I was looking up his father just to see what comes up. And he's from Virginia.
Oh, what part?
I don't know, but I'm trying to find it. I think it was this.
Yeah, because Leslie Burr Casey, that's his father.
Oh, no, he died in Virginia.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Now, it gets very interesting, too, here, because he does move around a little bit. Edgar, we're talking about. So Edgar is starting his life in Kentucky over here. Now, imagine that, by the way, Kahuna, that you're able to just place a book underneath your pillow, and now you understand everything that was inside the book just by sleeping on it. The only thing I can think that's comparable of it is when Neo pops up from the chair in The Matrix and just goes, I know Kung Fu.
I wouldn't be here. If that was possible, yeah. Mm-hmm. I would be writing the best movies. I would just sleep on script writing Bibles all the time.
Knowledge by osmosis. If you just get close to that book, you're good.
Do you like how selfish Kahuna is, though? Kahuna could sleep on any book and instantly know the contents of it. And he goes, you have any idea how great my movies are going to be?
Kevin, maybe you should put a contest out. Have people start sleeping on their books and see what comes out the next morning.
Well, but Pam, think about it. Kahuna could have sat there and solved world hunger. He could have ensured world peace. He could have become an effective leader.
It's all about him.
I'm good.
Coming up with an effective way to handle single-use
plastics.
What
did world ever do for me?
Find a cure for cancer, yeah. Nothing.
It's like, no, it's a movie, but the puppet is the murderer.
Crap. Oh, wait, it's already been done. This is weird, too. He was born, Leslie was born in Christian, Kentucky.
Oh. Yes. It's an interesting place out there.
Big Kahuna may happen to know someone named Christian who would find that kind of eerie.
Hey, man, let's take those little nuggets and just set them adrift on memory bliss. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. That was freaking excellent, by the way. That was freaking excellent.
I love you, buddy. Well, these continued strange stories here, it leads to Edgar having a different kind of reputation. Now, how old is the Jeej?
Oh, she's going to be 6 in a couple days.
Okay, that's Pam's youngest. Now, if she started telling people that she could sleep on a book and she would know the entire contents of it, we'd be proud of her because it's kind of a cool thing. But there's also going to be kids that are like, oh, I don't know if we can trust her. That's kind of a weird thing here. Mm-hmm. So Edgar starts to develop this reputation for being different. And other strange stories from his childhood are going to include him getting hit in the spine with a ball during like a schoolyard game, and he starts acting very weird, right? So he's hurt. He's not making any sense. They think he's delirious. They make him go to sleep. And then in his sleep, he speaks while he's asleep in this trance-like state, mm-hmm. and gives the diagnosis and the cure for what how to get over the injury that he just suffered. And it turs out it's right. Mm-hmm. Okay, so they have him handled with it. Now here, so imagine you're talking in your sleep, but it's accurate. Yeah.
The cure for cancer.
Right.
Pretty much, man. Now, here's the weirdest part, too, is that the other story I heard that I thought this one was interesting is that there's this very ornery mule in town, all right, in Kentucky, that is it's too wild to be broken, all right? Mm-hmm. And one day they just look around and all the people in the town are seeing, and this wild mule that everybody's afraid of that, you know, kicks people and throws people off and everything like that and might as well just be brought around the side of the barn and shot, Edgar's riding it, like, peacefully, like they're best friends, like it's an old family pet. Mm-hmm. And he's just riding this guy. And the owner of the mule sees this and goes, holy shit, it's finally time. He's calmed down enough. We can break him in now. So now the owner of the mule hops on the thing after it drops Edgar off at home, and the fucking mule kicks him off. Yeah. All right, so this animal's still too wild. For some reason, Edgar's able to you know, navigate that.
I got the
He's
answer
the mule
for that
whisperer.
One.
You got the answer for that one?
Yes, because I was just in Hawaii, and I was sitting with the CEO of Avanto's company, and there was a guy across the way who was also a top, you know, sales guy, and he was a yogi kind of guy. And he said he grew up in India, and then he went into a cave with some kind of, like, you know, yogi guy, master or whatever, and in walks, and this is a true story, I think it was a lion, he said, a lion, and they were all terrified except for the yogi master, who was preaching about love, the more you love. So I would think that Edgar was an extreme empath.
Interesting.
Okay, because the empathy brings love, and then when you become that feeling of love, then that being is not going to feel like they're being attacked or anything like that. So they calm down too.
This
so
your energy of, when and I their fell energy. Into the pit at the Cincinnati Zoo. I was trying to talk to my friend Harambe, and
it just didn't work out very well.
I was reaching out to him. I said, "I want you on the podcast," and he goes, "Hang on one second."
So anyway, they didn't get attacked by this lion. He just peacefully walked out.
I have a sick mind. I find that hilarious, because if there is some otherworldly power and this dude is preaching love, the what other earthly power is like, oh yeah, you love so much, here's a fucking lion while you're in a cave. See how much you love that.
Mm-hmm. Well,
David and the lions then, right?
I love this.
Something to energy, I think.
I love this quote that his father said about Edgar sleeping in his sleep.
Definitely
he's the greatest
that.
Fellow in the world when he's asleep.
Well, he's interesting because that's where this stuff's starting to happen for him here now. Like we said, so the ornery mule, and then he's able to diagnose his own injuries, weird stuff like that. But now, by eighth grade, Edgar begins to exhibit his psychic abilities, Pamo. Mm-hmm. So Edgar remained a very bright student. He is now actually considered the favorite student of the same teacher that complained about him earlier. But he leaves school in ninth grade. Around that time, a ninth grade education was thought to be enough to get you ready for the real world.
That's pretty much it. You graduated eighth grade. It's time to get a job.
Which makes me think, because I really, truly can't think of anything I learned after ninth grade in school that was relevant. That was it. There's like, oh, you can finally read Catcher in the Rye. I was like, oh, well, thank you.
I thought third grade was sufficient.
It's crazy. It's very weird how that stuff works. But
I thought I was good after first grade, and I seem to be proven right.
That's right.
Yeah, what grade do they teach you how to work the soundboard in? Mm-hmm. But he's still a deeply spiritual man here. Now, here's the weird part. So he's freaked out by his own abilities. He's not sitting there like, man, I am plugged in. I am John Edwards. Welcome to Crossing Over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a skeptic of his own abilities.
So he's freaked out by that stuff because he's trying to make sure he goes, I hope this came from God. Because if it didn't come from God, that means I'm dealing with shit I have no idea of. Mm-hmm. And he's freaked out by it.
Right.
So very deeply spiritual guy here. He continues to be active in the church, and he actually meets the woman who goes on to be his fiance, and then also his wife and the mother of his three children, Miss Gertrude Evans. And the two of them are just two peas in a pod, as far as I can read. Again, Edgar is now thought to be able to start seeing the auras around people. Pam, real quick, just for the listeners, I've had it happen three different times to me where someone has come up to me and said, I can see your aura. I don't know if you believe this, but there's a very light blue aura surrounding you. I've had that happen. I go, now what does this shit mean?
People see people in colors. And we have a family member that can do it. I'm not going to mention their name, that they can do it.
Really?
It's a youngster. And they see you in a color, which means something. I don't know. I'm not really into the auras, but I can tell if someone's like a little gray or not. You know what I mean? I'm kind of always paranoid about
so when
people.
We see people in color, am I seeing a brown hue over the kahuna because he is Latino?
No.
Or?
I think it's more of the vibrant yellows and orange, not the browns now.
That's why I wore my blue shirt.
But he's a nice color brown. You're a very nice color brown, though.
Thank you.
I like your antennas. They're cool. Yeah.
Oh, damn it. Pam, you can't be messing with my sound engineer like that. He's looking for me.
No, it's nice. And I'd like to put a flower in your hair today.
What do you mean antennas?
Those are antennas.
I'm
Didn't
scared.
You know that?
I'm gonna Big Kahuna will be Those right are... back after these messages.
So this aura shit is now stuff that Edgar's seeing here. And he's also hearing the voices of angels and deceased relatives.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so Edgar's struggling with the abilities here, like we said, because he's freaked out. He's like, you know, dead. Imagine having the Sixth Sense but never seeing the movie The Sixth Sense to understand it. Mm-hmm. So Edgar attempts a business partnership with his father. He doesn't want to profit off of this thing, right? So it's like I brought you in for a podcast right away, so we know how I feel about that kind of stuff, Dad. But Edgar attempts this business partnership. He wants to sell insurance with his father. He's just not quite sure what he wants to do with this. He's freaked out by the powers and everything like that. There's almost always – that's another thing that goes into the traditional story of the hero's journey is they try to deny their power,
mm-hmm.
right? So there's always like Hercules trying to live a normal life, or we see it in like the comic book movies. They're always like, I just want to – Clark Kent's father tells him to just hide what he is because the world's not ready for him yet, all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, he tries to hide that, but he can't. He gets a severe case of laryngitis that causes a complete and a long-term loss of his voice. He can't speak for literally about a year or so. Mm-hmm.
All right. Unable to speak beyond like a whisper. He can whisper, but that's pretty much it.
And it's not good here. So he actually takes up a job as a photographer in the meantime, because then you don't have to talk quite as much as a photographer. You just have to stick your head out from the other end of the camera and you know, stick your nose out or whatever it is, or you know, point your tongue.
I have a theory on that.
Talk to me. I know you do, Pam. That's why you're here.
I know. Yeah. So if he can't talk, then he has to use that other sense to strengthen it. If he was working with God, in commune with God, then he would lose that sense to enable him to make the other one more heightened so that he could help people, because that's basically what he was sent here for.
Interesting. So
another hypothesis is that if he's selling insurance, that's really not helping people, because your job as an insurance salesman is to get people to buy stuff that they really don't need.
And maybe also, what if he can see their future a little bit and like, do I really need flood insurance?
No.
Yeah, you're going to need it.
Right.
I saw
Meanwhile, in Christian Kentucky, excuse me, ma'am, do you need some volcano insurance today?
That's right.
Well, after about a year or so without having his voice now, a traveling stage hypnotist finds out about Edgar's ailment, if you will, and attempts to cure him via hypnosis. You ever been hypnotized, Kahuna?
No. I don't think I ever would be.
Mm. I've had a friend try it with me. Now, the running joke is that Sigmund Freud supposedly said that of the Irish – that the Irish are the only people that are impervious to psychoanalysis.
Really?
Got to have something there to start with.
It's well, it's the idea that they bury everything so deeply that they'll never admit it. You know,
Under lots and lots of booze, there's some resemblance of a soul.
Well, they're a bitter people, as we've covered. So, to the shock of those that are witnessing this, Edgar actually agrees, and the hypnotist puts him into the trance. And these people in the room are absolutely freaked the fuck out, because when he's deep in this trance, Edgar's voice returns. Okay, so now the hypnotist gets him out of his little shell here. But when he comes out of the trance, he can't speak again.
Mm-hmm.
So in the trance, for some reason, that hitting that level of your subconscious, they refer to it as a psychological paralysis.
Right. I was going to just say that it probably they would, if you were going to a psychologist or a psychiatrist or whatever, they'd probably just say, oh, you're just turning off that sense because you don't want people to know that you have this. Maybe he was a little insecure about
it. It's like when you eat mushrooms and you feel like your third eye is about to open up on your
That's
forehead.
That's right. It's popping after that.
Why is the grass talking to me?
That's also true.
Oh, those fairies are back.
I wonder if there are any wild mushrooms that grow in Kentucky.
Look at those little people down that were on a skyscraper, Kevin. It's an airplane. You're looking down.
There's something on the wing.
Twilight Zone.
But now he's not able to. The guy's name was – he was known as the Laughing Man. Okay, that was his name. He was the Laugh Man. And he had to get to another gig, so he left. But he admitted that he thinks the reason he failed on Edgar to not restore his voice in his normal, non-trance state is because he wasn't able to bring him into the, quote, third state of suggestion. So you have to get deeper and deeper. There's that whole power suggestion thing. It's all the people that are into, like, the motivational tapes and stuff like that you play, and it goes, you're going to accomplish your goals, you know, all that other shit. So now another hypnotist is brought in and again places Mr. Casey, Edgar Casey, is now placed deep into a hypnotic trance. This is the one where I got up and walked around the house for a couple minutes, okay? Edgar begins answering the hypnotist when the hypnotist asks him to describe his ailment using his voice, but it's a slightly different voice, and Edgar answers in the plural sense. He starts saying, we. We are experiencing this. We have this. We have... And then whenever a entity would come and be able to speak to him, where he could perform one of these readings that he's about to get very, very well known for, he would always start off saying, we have the body. And it would be that Edgar's not here right now, but whatever you want to talk to is. So it freaks you out a little bit. Makes you get up and turn the TV on and just play the Yes Network in the background for a couple minutes.
Edgar's not here right now. Yep. Please leave a message after the beep.
She sleeps above her sheets, Egon. Yeah. 5 feet above her sheets. So,
happy 35th, Ghostbusters.
Now, whenever he's in his sleeping trance, Edgar's voice would change to that plural like we said here. But now this time, Casey's voice actually returns. And he tells the hypnotists, he's literally, as he's still in the trance, his voice has returned, and he said that if you increase the blood flow to his vocal cords, that he'll be able to overcome this psychological paralysis, like we were talking about, Pam. And they literally say that while he's sitting there, his cheeks got red again, and that the increased blood flow was going through him there, and all of a sudden his voice is back. Now, he relapsed a couple of times, but eventually this became like a full-time cure. So his voice is now back. He's being contacted by his other things. Now he can do these readings from the other side.
Yeah,
now, LP, ever go ahead.
Explain the readings, though, because, I mean, the readings is when he puts himself into a later. Now, once the hypnotist incident goes on, now he puts himself into a self-induced trance, if you will. And he's making all these predictions or ideas in his sleep. And he becomes known as the sleeping prophet. That all of his, and then all of these prophecies in his sleep are becoming pretty famous, and people are coming to him to make these readings, these prophecies that are now being called readings rather than trances or something. And even later on, you don't even have to show up. You just mail him a letter, send him a letter explaining your situation, and he'll be able to put himself into a trance and give you a reading on your particular ailment just via United States Postal Service.
Now, here's why he's fascinating is that I remember back in the day, if I wanted like the special edition G.I. Joes, you had to have a proof of purchase from something. So that's what you're sending. You're sending your, you know, this letter out to him, and then some psychic out in Kentucky is going to tell you what's going on with your life. So very interesting here. But this is where Edgar Casey is a fascinating guy, too, is because where there's a lot of people that couldn't wait to attempt to capitalize on this by, oh, well, we're going on tour. Oh, I'm going to have a TV show. I'm going to do this. Edgar Casey's like, I don't want any money for this. He goes, I'll do it, but it's to help people. That's right. Why the gift is here. That's I don't want money. And these people, he gets into – there's one guy named Ketchum, that Dr. Ketchum, that he and him were working together for a while. And what the agreement they come to is that the readings are free. They're going to go into business together. They have a building together. But inside of the office that they have, he has to have a photography studio set up as well, so he can still make money by doing that. So
it's like we'll have the main gig set up, but then in the back, behind the bead door, is the psychic readings.
Well, there was – I forget what it was, but there was always a funny gambit. It's like – it's actually for the breweries around here. You're allowed to taste samples of some of the beers, but you're not allowed to drink the beer there. It's not a bar, but you're allowed to enjoy a sample. There's a little – there's leeway. So, but as my father said, this guy's – he picks up the reputation. He's now the sleeping prophet. He can just loosen his tie up, lay down on a trance-like state in this couch or something like that, and he'll – you know, his voice will change a little bit, and all of a sudden the we starts coming out, and he's able to – and he's hitting a lot of this stuff with eerie accuracy. Now, he's also big on – he has no medical training, yet he's able to tell people what their ailments are. And then also prescribe like some sort of a cure, like, hey, you needed to exercise a little bit more at night, so that way you'll start sleeping better because you'll be more tired. Or you need a vacation down by the water because the crystals in the sand down by the beach have a healing property to them. And then the voice tells him eventually later on, oh, you should also move to Virginia Beach. That's the first time he may have said, oh, should I get – I mean, the voice has said we have to do it. So
But yeah, I think the biggest number of these readings were for medical benefit, that people had some type of an ailment. And I think early on when he first discovered this ability, there was some guys that were trying to have him predict the who's going to win the fourth race at Belmont kind of a thing.
Because he would be in the trance-like state, and then people would take advantage of him while he was under. So then these guys that were doing it, because you were right, they would come in and they wanted to know what the horse race let's we're betting on the ponies, tell right. us which one's the pick. And he would – sometimes he would get it right, okay? But it was happening enough times that finally he told he was in the trance-like state, and he's not aware of the shit that he's saying while he's in the trance-like state. So that's why it would freak him out that all of a sudden he's giving medical advice. Because one of his other quotes, too, was, all I have to do is be wrong once on this medical shit, and I'm a fucking murderer.
Right. I'm really putting a hurting on somebody, and that's not what he was all about. He was about helping people.
Yeah. So that was Fritz. So now he realized he's being taken advantage of. So what happened was he, in a trance-like state, he goes, I'm being taken advantage of, and we are not going to tolerate this anymore. We are going to take away the powers if we continue to try to do this. And so after that, a family member had to be in all sessions with him to make sure that he wasn't being taken advantage of. In these, there's a couple sessions they even talk about that got, quote, violent, where people are freaking out or that they're going a little too hard on him or something like that, because he talked about how often this would be physically draining for him, emotionally, spiritually, physically, all that other stuff. But all it took was he had to be wrong on one thing, and all of a sudden he's got a murderer's vibe going on with him. And the doctors are pissed off at this guy, too, and a lot of people are starting to call him a quack, but then other people are coming. So his fame continues to grow. He actually gets called the Sleeping Prophet in an October 9th, 1909 New York Times article extolling Edgar's psychic powers, all right?
Yeah, so some guy from backwoods Kentucky is now making major headlines far beyond Christian County, Kentucky, that New York Times is paying attention to what's going on with the
It's getting wild,
the
too.
Readings that this guy is being able to come away with.
He also later gets mentioned in Hearst's Chicago Examiner, William Randolph Hearst.
Right.
His newspaper is now covering Edgar Casey here. Now, the other thing that Casey's doing, too, is a lot of the stuff he's saying, Pamo, is diet-related. So he's saying, you need to eat more fruits and vegetables, or, you need to eat more corn. And I realized
And he wasn't big on red meat.
Was not big on red. Now, the other thing that was made me laugh here was that he's big on corn. Corn and tomatoes were his two, like, power foods,
yeah,
apparently.
Corn is supposed to be bad for you now, Dave.
Well, isn't it funny, though, too? Because what is corn? High source of fiber. So he comes from the same school of thought as Pammy,
yes.
where you don't feel good, take a
he's
shit.
He's from my planet.
You got to see what you just ate.
Yeah, let it out.
And let
Kevin,
me tell you.
Come on. Doesn't work. It works.
It does work.
You got a headache, take shit.
It's unfortunately correct.
You
have to chug
Before
enough water
fry,
and coffee to take the shit.
But. You don't want to get nauseous? Go to the bathroom. I'm telling you. Like clockwork. You got to do this.
Yeah, he had a lot of notions on diet and health, absolutely, that he would.
And a lot of it still checks out. That's that food combining thing, like the Gracie family in Brazil, the crazy UFC fighters, the jiu-jitsu guys. They all have been practicing food combining since, like, medieval times almost.
Oh, yeah.
And it all checks out with the same shit that this guy somehow knew. So there's a sense of ancient wisdom that's also modern, in a sense.
Right.
It's kind of cool.
Right. What is old is new again.
Right.
therapeutic use of food. Mm-hmm. You know, again, if you got a headache, take a shit. Well, what's going to make you take a shit? Well, have some prunes. It's therapeutic.
Yeah.
And also the whole acid alkaline thing was also, too. The pH of what you're eating is going to have a definite balance on your well-being.
Well, the other one, too, that stood out to me here as well is that these healing prescriptions that Edgar's able to deal out, a lot of them are for people. Now, they later on reveal that a lot of the people that wrote to him were already dead by the time he was reading the letter. So they don't know if he was attempting to communicate with dead people or just giving out advice that was completely ridiculous. They couldn't quite tell on that one. But here's two examples that'll freak you the fuck out a little bit, Kahuna. His own wife, Gertrude, comes down with a fatal case of tuberculosis. And through one of his readings, he cures her tuberculosis, tells her exactly what she needs to do, and saves her life. She remains alive. She dies 3 months after Edgar dies.
Wow.
So he's on his way to becoming a widower, and all of a sudden he goes, oh, no, tomatoes and corn. Take a shit, kid. Take a shit. She goes ahead, and now she is able to beat tuberculosis, which for the times is still, it's ridiculous here. Now, he also has one of his kids. He has three children. One child dies, unfortunately. And then one of the other children burns themselves with the flash powder from the photography studio, burns their eyes and can't see. And through another one of his readings, he restores the sight of the child.
Wow.
So there's some weird shit going on here. He's definitely on to something. He even when he was guessing the ponies, they said that he was right, but about as often as luck would have it. So it wasn't like he was killing it. He wasn't, you know, it's not Rain Man, but he's getting shit in right enough times that it's concerning.
Well, isn't like, if he did have these powers, isn't gambling, like, considered, like, a sin? So, like, I guess it would be kind of appropriate for it to kind of shut off.
Yeah, it's like it's like you said, if you could read every book and figure everything out, God's given you a power, and your immediate thing is you're like, we're going to make gremlins again. But so it's the same thing with that here. But now after a couple of few particularly violent readings where people would be coming at him with all sorts of stuff, he's now starting to realize just how much it's taking out of him to do these readings. Mm-hmm. It's kicking the shit out of him. He is emotionally and physically worn out, and he had decided that he's now only going to use his ability to help the distressed and the sick, okay? The voice continues to talk to him and say that, you know, you can do this, but you have to use it for the proper use, if you will. And Casey now also starts keeping a stenographer with him in the room during the trances and is shocked in 1923, because remember, he doesn't know the shit he's saying when he's under, okay?
Right, right. He does.
It's almost like giving
you... I have no idea. He had no recall.
Yeah,
there wasn't really a tape recorder going to record that, so the best you could do was to have a stenographer in the room.
I had a friend, I won't say her name, but she was telling me that when she had her wisdom teeth taken out and they were doping her up, that apparently she couldn't stop talking about the show How I Met Your Mother. And she was talking to the dentist, and they're like, oh, you love that show How I Met Your Mother. And then she goes after, she goes, Kevin, never seen an episode. But apparently when she was doped up in the dentist's office, she's like, you have to watch this show. So a little bit freaked out here on this one. Keeps the stenographer with him. Now in 1923, he finds out that during one of his readings in the trance-like state, he at length had discussed reincarnation and the past lives of Mr. Arthur Lammers. This disturbed Edgar because reincarnation is not accepted as a teaching in the Christian doctrine. So now he's like, there's no way I'm talking about this. I don't even know anything about this. And Mr. Lammers is like, no, actually, you pretty much said everything in this book that I have about reincarnation. So I know that you're right on this one. He also had a weird one weird belief they say he was completely wrong about. Polygyny, I want to call it that. Is that correct?
Yeah, I believe that's the – yeah.
So that's the belief of
polygenism.
Yeah, polygenism, which is that there's five tribes of people, if you will.
Well, five different varieties of Genesis that the five human races that you have a white, a black, a red, a brown, and a yellow.
Yeah. So, and they all showed up at the same time.
So you might have an Adam and Eve type story, but that's happening five times.
Mm-hmm. Now, what makes me laugh too about that, because that's largely been dispelled. There's now monogyny. I want to say whatever the opposite of the poly is, it's now the one. So
right.
It's the idea we all did come from that. So that most people agree on that one here. Now they're saying a lot of people tried to accuse him of being racist for having that idea, not during the time, but in retrospect. But then they realize it's actually just the people that he was reading about, the people that were influencing him, like this one, Madam Something, very, very, you know, funky. That's what she thought was going on. There's also the race of the Atlanteans.
Right, and I think he also held a job in a bookstore type of a thing, so he had a lot of different he had a great availability to a lot of different theories or books or that type of thing.
And
let's face it, if you can fall asleep on top of a book and you're absorbing everything within that book, you know, you can become well read first, real quick. Yeah. And all these different concepts or ideas. I mean, that's one of the skeptics would say that, yeah, he might have read about that in a newspaper article or something like that, or somebody's making some kind of a prediction.
Well, that's
or
like
forecast.
That's like Pammy's dad, Uncle Polly. Uncle Polly knows a little something about everything. You press him past the little something, he's just going to go. You're going to go on instinct at that point.
Right.
Like, well, you know, it's the there's almost a Cheers vibe to him with Cliff and Norm. But it always makes me laugh with that stuff. Now, he's freaked out by this one because he doesn't know shit about what he's talking about on this one. So now he's nervous because he's giving out health advice to people with ailments that he's hoping he's correct about. And now also apparently he's reading the past lives of some rich dude that's coming to him here. Now, around this time frame, the wee voice instructs him to, as we said, move to Virginia Beach, which I guess if you have to go, Pam.
You gotta go.
And he believed in, like we said, the sand has these crystals in the sand itself that's also going to assist him with healing properties. But in 1825, Edgar is fully involved in what they consider like the respectable part of his life here. He's got a respectable business and regularly documented readings. They documented readings from these stenographers. There's over 14,000 of them kept in his library in Virginia Beach, open and available to the public. Mm-hmm. So if we have any listeners down there in the area, check this shit out. Message me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, whatever. Let me know what you guys find. Because we got my buddy Alex Alvarez. He went to the jail where they hung the Molly Maguires, based off of listening to it on this
He made a field trip.
I want to make a field trip.
There's a lot of cool.
Looked it up a couple years ago, and I want to go.
You got to check this out and let me know what you find out for me then. Now this is where it gets wacky. He supposedly also predicted the Great Depression. He has his own university because he had a Casey Hospital as well. That there was a month's waiting list to sign up to go receive services from him and the other doctors here.
You're saying this is where it gets wacky? I thought it got wacky when the kid would say how to fix things in his sleep.
Well, it was,
sleep on books and then know how to know about the book. But this is where it gets wacky.
You should say that, but the little people are crawling up on the ones and twos right now, sitting there on the audio board just staring back at me. But if you look through them hard enough, Kahuna.
They're giving you the finger, Kev. I see them.
Now, Edgar has, at this point, founded the Association for Research and Enlightenment, ARE, which they are very proud of this guy, too. Edgar begins performing up to 8 readings a day around this time because it's also the time frame of World War II. So, Great Depression, he's got all these people coming to him saying, when's my luck going to turn around? Am I going to be okay here? Am I fucking up? Do I need to go into another field? And then after that, you have World War II, and now all the family members are freaking out. They're saying, well, what's going on with my nephew? Is my nephew okay? Is my son okay? Who's, you know, what's going on here? Is my dad going to come back from the war? All these people want to know. And he's freaked out because he's getting so much mail at this point. He starts doing 8 readings a day. And literally, while he's sitting there on the couch, imagine seeing someone talking in their sleep. I've said some weird stuff in my sleep before. I've had people tell me. But imagine someone's in their sleep and they're having a conversation back and forth with themselves, but the two voices are different, and one of them goes, we, as in that there's a person they're speaking for. So the voices are even telling him that you shouldn't be doing this. You know, we're taking too much out of you.
Yeah, the voices are asking, are you the key master?
Or as one of my favorite stand-up specials of all time was Doug Stanhope's No Refunds, and he has a great joke in there that goes, imagine that not only are the voices in your head there, but they're accurate. So, yeah, he has founded this group or whatever. He's doing these 8 readings a day, and he's starting to get more and more press now because near the end of World War II, they're calling him the Miracle Man of Virginia Beach. Okay, and his critics claim that he just merely has this photographic memory, like you said, Dad, and he read so many fucking books that he's able to say a little bit about everything. But he's diving into they're studying psychic ability, they're studying the potential of other clairvoyance, people's past lives, their spiritual side, their esotericism. Is that correct, Pammy? Am I saying that right?
Yeah.
So now Casey's ability and reputation continues to grow in parts to more and more newspaper coverage, like we said. Those are good nicknames. The Sleeping Prophet, the Miracle Man of Virginia Beach.
Yeah.
That's not too bad.
That's not a bad handle.
Yeah, it makes you really feel lazy for calling him the Kahuna, right?
it's the big Kahuna.
So. Also true.
He gets it.
Now, these voices are warning him that they're saying that you need to rest until you heal or you die. That's how bad it's gotten because he's working way too hard at this point. And at age 67, Edgar suffers a stroke that would take his life within the year. So he suffers the stroke by doing too many readings. He goes down to just 2 a day, right? Still has the stroke, and then dies within a year. All right, Edgar dies on January 3rd, 1945. All right? He is remembered by his admirers as a man of faith, all right, but dismissed by the critics who call his readings useless at best and harmful at worst. All right? So it's like you said, Pammy, if you go to a holistic doctor and you're eating a little bit more tomatoes than you normally did, is that really the end of the world?
No.
You know what I mean?
You might break out or have a symptom of an allergy that you may have.
Yeah, but if they get your medication wrong, you'd be in the hospital.
Right.
So I agree with you on that one here. Now, the Research Association, the ARE, they continue their research to this day. And like we said, over 14,000 of his readings are not only documented, but also brought out for cross-examination on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. They're very big on the science part of this. They are faith-based scientists, which I know some people be like, oh, that's an oxymoron, but You know, it's just people that are looking for logical answers that still happen to have a, you know, to mm-hmm. believe in a Christian sense of a God.
Magic is just science we don't understand yet.
Ah, mm-hmm. look at that guy.
Yeah, and the ARE, or the Association for Research and Enlightenment, this is something that was incorporated, I mean, back in 1931, and it's still going on. It was,
yes.
Casey was the, you know, the large and in charge on that whole thing.
So
and never really did make a whole lot of money. You know, that they were struggling financially because 31 and you're in the middle of the Depression. So things were – he didn't try to make a whole lot of money on this, which is one of the arguments against the idea that he's a quack or you know, just some bogus
– Yeah, if he was a quack, he would have profited.
Right,
yeah.
That he would have been a yeah. self-fulfilling on the monetary value kind of a thing, or you know, making bucks off of this, and that wasn't the case really.
It's like when you see L. Ron Hubbard; he literally is talking about there's a correspondence from him to one of his wives or something like that. When he goes, "Can't wait to get out of this stupid science fiction author business and get into religion where I can make some real money."
Yeah,
exact quote from L. Ron Hubbard too. Right. Exact quote.
Oh
right.
My.
All right. Kuna, while wrapping up over here, can I ask you to look something up for me? There's a movie with – it was with Joaquin Phoenix, and it was one of – what was the guy? He had three names. He looks like Jim Gaffigan. He's an amazing actor. I can't believe I'm blanking on his name here.
Well, you ought to go into a trance right
now. Did he pass away recently?
Yes, he did, of heroin. I'm thinking
oh, shit. I know his name, so give me a second because I actually know where the – I know where the fuck he is.
You want to – put your head back and go into a little trance.
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah. Philip Seymour Hoffman. There.
Oh, yeah.
My father said, "You want to go into a trance to remember his name?" The spirit of Philip Seymour Hoffman is here with me, and he goes, "Hot pockets." So, he was in a movie where they spoofed a guy. It was supposed to be kind of ripping on. I think it was called The Apostle or The Prophet or something like that. I forget what it was, but it had Joaquin. It was one of his last movies. But what they were doing in the movie was he was kind of a...
God's Pocket?
No, give me 1 second here. To scroll over to the left. Let's see. The Invention of Lying, Doubt, No, Moneyball. They're kidding me here. A Most Haunted Man. What the hell are they doing to me?
Take a little nap, Kev. It'll come to you.
Yeah, I guess so, apparently. So, anyway, the point is that Joaquin Phoenix was in the movie, so we'll look it up that way maybe. But in the movie, he's an L. Ron Hubbard type who's clearly a huckster, but then he starts to develop real things that he's starting to notice, and so then they kind of blur into this Edgar Casey story. That's what reminded
me. The Master.
The Master. There it is. Thank you, sir. Now, here are a couple of the things that Edgar Casey predicted correctly. You ready for this one?
Because
he had some shit he was wrong about.
But you know what? What is how can everything be perfect? Like even medicine, when they study it, they have to research for years and years and years. So
that's
they're bringing
why
it back.
You practice medicine.
That's right. It's a
practice. You
got to
keep bringing this back too,
right? Mm-hmm.
So that they can figure it out.
And that's why a lot of them too are calling them quackery kind of a thing. Because if
maybe
know,
from Dr.
Quackman,
whatever
goes against the American Medical Association is going to be considered quackery, right?
Yeah, and if,
AMA doesn't really believe in. What am I talking about? The when you're adjusting your chiropractic type medicine, or
it's scary. You think chiropractors are legit, and then you find out you're like, how many people a year do they kill?
Yeah.
Well, check this out. I want to throw these at you guys here. Here's some interesting stuff that Mr. Edgar Casey predicted and was right about. He predicted, and by the way, in his own time, he had an admirer and I believe a face to face correspondence with President Woodrow Wilson. Unfortunately. He predicted that Woodrow Wilson was going to die in office, and he was correct. He also predicted the death of John F. Kennedy.
Woodrow Wilson died in office?
That's what they're saying over here.
That's what he predicted?
Yes.
Okay.
So
right.
In 1939, Casey predicted a division between capital and labor. Okay, what does that sound like? Proletariats, communism, Tsarist Russia, the Bolsheviks. So interesting stuff with that. Casey does predict the deaths of Woodrow Wilson and JFK, all right? He also predicts the stock market crash, okay? Supposedly, in 1924 is when he predicts the stock market's going to crash and starts warning his clients of the pending losses and telling themselves how to defend themselves from the losses. Nobody listens to him. Everybody loses everything, all right? So it's, you don't want to listen to me then, go shit in a hat.
So, take a shit, you
take
feel
a shit,
better.
Now, they didn't listen, all right? And then the Great Depression that followed the stock market crash was also something he had predicted. Another prediction of his, that he often talked about Russia, okay? Because mm-hmm. Russia, if you remember at this time, Russia is a fallen kingdom post-World War I. I think that's the most fascinating time ever, is when Russia goes from the autocracy and these beautiful palaces to now it's the Bolsheviks and the Reds are in charge and taking over the world and all that other stuff. But he predicts that the fall of the Soviet Union, which from 1911 time frame, from when Tsarist Russia fell, the time of Rasputin, all the way to Reagan, Russia's a hot commodity then. They're still a hot commodity to this day. And if you're listening over in Russia, thank you guys. All right, thank you. But
they did tear down the wall.
Yeah, he predicts the fall of the Soviet Union, and that he proclaimed, this is an exact quote from Casey, freedom would return to the people of Russia following the collapse of what they call Bolshevism. So once they realize that shit ain't going to work, they'd get a little bit of economic freedom back. So it's debatable, but they're not quite the Iron Curtain isn't in place like it once was.
Right.
So number four thing that he predicted, the Jews would return to Israel. All right. Did you guys know that Lakewood is part of Israel?
Oh, yeah.
So in 1932, Casey predicts what would happen in 1948, that the Jews would make their biblical Old Testament return to the Holy Land. And Casey foresaw the creation of the State of Israel. All right. So he knew they were going to go back. That was a thing he kind of called. Number five, the fall of Hitler. Casey called in 1934 that Hitler would take power over all of Germany, but warned of his pending imperialism. And there's also a weird one too, Nostradamus. A French clairvoyant, if you will, who could attempt to predict the future. He actually had it down that Hitler was one of the three antichrists, okay? And even had it down to that he's going to rule a country he's not from, which is Hitler was born in Austria,
right,
and not Germany.
Right. Mm.
So, and then the other one was that he got so close to it, he was one letter off, he thought the guy's name was going to be Hister. H-I-S-T-E-R. Right. He goes, one letter off, you know what I mean? So freaks you out about
that's
that
pretty
one.
Good.
Now, the worst part is that this one scared the shit out of me. They used to say that Mabus, M-A-B-U-S, was the name of the third one, the third Antichrist that was coming. So people were trying to play around with that. George W. Bush, Mabus, Barack Obama, Obama, Mabus. And then what's his name? Mabus was a Secretary of Defense in the Bush administration, wasn't he?
I think so.
I'm pretty sure he was. So they're still toying around with that one. They're always waiting for the announcement of the third Antichrist. Mm-hmm. Right? It's like an iPhone. We all just can't wait.
But that's Nostradamus. That's not Casey.
That was Nostradamus calling that one.
Right.
But now for the fall of Hitler, called by Mr. Casey, he called 1934 that the imperialism is coming here on this one. Now, Pam, you said something here earlier,
mm-hmm.
the shifting of Earth's poles.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the moving of Earth's crust. This theory has been confirmed by NASA. So Casey was in tune to something that NASA has proved him right about. In 1935, he calls for revolutions. Okay, two countries are going to have massive revolutions. Spain has their civil war, and Stalin begins the purges. You know, to, hey, communism's going to work, guys. We all have to pitch in. Some of you more than others.
Yeah. Those that say, no, it's not, well, you're out.
That's right.
We'll take care of
it. It's a team effort, isn't it? But what about?
Yeah, Papa Joe.
Number eight, Russia will one day be an ally to the United States. And they said that was achieved by when the Soviet Union fell and Russia came to the table, all thanks to some wild man named Ronald Reagan. So in number nine, he predicted his own death in the wee voice.
That's creepy.
That one freaked me out a little bit. One of his final readings was of himself to learn how to handle his death that was coming. And then number 10, here we go. He was big on Atlantis, Dad.
Oh,
all right.
Yeah.
Now, if you know about Atlantis, it's a theme park in the Bahamas. no, Atlantis, he predicted we would find the sunken world of Atlantis by the end of the 1940s and that we would have discovered their death ray, which he thinks was part of it. He thought there were these power crystals that powered Atlantis and that the misuse of them is what caused mm-hmm. Atlantis to explode and sink beneath the surface.
The lost continent of Atlantis.
Yeah. Well said. Yeah. Well said. Now, here's what's crazy, too. If Atlantis did have power crystals that then erupted and caused them to sink, wouldn't that kind of look and seem similar to a person back then who grew up in rural farmland Kentucky? Then maybe that's how he perceived the Manhattan Project, Dad?
Well, Yeah. Yeah, the Atlantis Death Ray. The introduction of the atomic age, right?
Yeah, the Atlantis Death Ray could just be the atom bomb. I thought that was kind of interesting to talk about, too, man. But he also, like we said, believed in...
Before you jump into that other one, that could also be going back to the horoscope thing, that, you know, if you're exchanging horoscopes with one another, you could probably find something in... I could find something in Kahuna's horoscope that would speak to me, and vice versa. That
exactly,
you know. If he's thinking a death ray, the atomic bomb. That must have been the death ray. Well, maybe it's some kind of a laser thing that hasn't even happened yet. That it's, you know, 20 years out from now.
Well, they said Nostradamus too, that he had this the stuff that he couldn't describe was because it was just technology that wasn't from his time. That they thought he was seeing. So I wonder how much of that is true with Mr. Casey as well.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So weird shit with that one. Now, he had a bunch of shit he was wrong about. This is one of the ones he was wrong about that I thought was interesting. Was Casey was often wrong. He predicted chaos in Los Angeles, San Francisco, and eventually the destruction of New York. Now, when he thinks all these bad, crazy...
Is that the Watts riots?
It could be 9/11.
What about what's going on now in California with all those
homeless people? Yeah, homeless people.
Oh, he's home.
Tell me he's referring to those riots in the 90s in L.A.
Well, I wonder, because it makes you think about that one. Now, this is my theory, Kahuna. This is just me thinking here. And like my father said, sometimes we try to we try to bend the narrative to go with it, because we almost want his predictions to be true. What if the chaos he saw taking place in the Bay Area is actually just a Raiders game?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Oh, imagine seeing the Raiders fans with their war paint on and how much of, you know.
And he sees that, he's like,
how wild those guys are. You know, like, my God, the apocalypse is nigh. No, that's the Tuck rule.
So, some of his other clients, because you were saying some people he was affiliated with were like Thomas Edison, mm-hmm. Irving Berlin, and George Gershwin, which I thought was actually just kind of interesting. Like, it goes from politician to inventor to musicians. So that's about it.
That was the creme de la creme of the mm-hmm. time, though. I mean, if you wanted to have people that were fans of your
pretty
work.
Heavy hitters.
They read the newspapers.
Very true. Now, his readings, like we said, can still be found down in Virginia Beach, so I'm looking forward to hearing a follow-up on this one from you here, Pamela.
Okay. I got to go now. That's it. Yeah. I'm going to take my little tribe with me and go research.
Well, LP, before we wrap up, is there anything else you wanted to get into on this guy?
No, just that whole Atlantis thing with that. You know, he was a big believer in that lost continent of Atlantis, and part of his the group that he formed, the ARE, the...
American Research and Enlightenment.
Thank you very much.
I'm sorry, the Association for Research and Enlightenment. I apologize.
The Association for Research and Enlightenment, right, the ARE, which is in Virginia Beach, still headquartered in Virginia Beach. They also fund diving expeditions in the Bahamas, I believe, or at least in the Caribbean, in search of further evidence of the lost planet. The lost continent.
We don't know. Maybe you're onto something. Maybe that's a Freudian slip from beyond.
There you go. Did we say that or did I say that?
There was something that I found. I was reading about him because I was following along. Because this is oddly fascinating, but this wasn't really relevant to his psychic stuff. But he invented a card game called Pit. But it got stolen from him.
Mm. Yeah, and, thought that was interesting. And there was another one because he was big on board games.
Was he really?
Yeah, he was big on board. He created another one too. That I think the Pit one he sent for to get a patent from the company. He goes, hey guys, I got this great idea, and they're like, that is a great idea. I mean, it's ours now. You're not getting any credit for it. Fuck you. But
right.
And there was another one too. It was on based off of wheat trading, I think.
Your board of trades.
There was. Yeah, he's an interesting guy here, Mr. Casey. But I wanted to cater it to this because I know that I tend to be overly cynical, so I wanted to have my free-spirited cousin Pam on to kind of give us the other side
the
of
balance.
The argument here. So I'm going to go ahead and say that because he didn't profit off of it, I'm going to say he probably genuinely believed whatever he was seeing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the guy's definitely not a jerk. There's nothing jerky about him here. But Pam,
I almost feel bad calling him an American loser.
Well, Pam, you think he was real or no, though? You think he believed it?
Yes, yeah? I believe it.
Yeah? What about you, Cahuns?
I mean, I understand the skepticism around it, but again, it goes back to that genuineness. He didn't seem to charge, like, he didn't go all out for it. Like, he kind of seemed scared by it, too.
Well, you're familiar with the term mesmerizing?
Yeah.
Okay. What if I told you that came from a German philosopher named Franz Mesmer? It's a true story. Franz Mesmer is the guy who did it, and he was big on the illusions, attempting to contact the dead, all this other stuff. So the term mesmerize comes from Franz Mesmer. So when you're the first guy to come up with something, it becomes your name. So like if I got very well known for slamming a car door shut on my head, it would be called a Burkism. You know what I mean? Or something like that. But anybody else have anything you want to hop in here before we roll out? Because we got Father's Day shit to do.
Amen.
You got to eat.
It's true.
That's
Uncle
right.
Paulie's cooking up a storm right now. Kahuna, you're invited if you want to come.
Yeah, come.
If you guys don't know this already, I do stand-up comedy. You can check me out at KP Burke Sucks on Twitter and Instagram, KP Burke on Facebook. The website is KP Burke Comedy, I guess. I forget. I don't know. Natty Bumpercard did the website for me. He's a good guy, but you know, I never heard from him again after it was up. So anyway, but June 28th and June 29th, I'm going to be down at Uncle Vinny's Comedy Club. I'm going to be featuring for Joseph Anthony, who's a funny guy over there. I'm looking forward to that one. So come on down and check that out if you guys want to come see the show. Let me know on that one. Also, if you want to come by, I'll be at a hair salon in Nutley on Friday around 7 getting my hair cut. All right? So you come hang out there. We'll talk about the podcast or something.
That?
Yeah, I'll allow it to happen.
Don't get it all cut, though. I like it long, please.
No, we are going to keep growing the hair.
I'll put a flower in your hair, too. Both of y'all.
And then let's see. What else have I got?
Just changes your whole aura.
Also true. And the very fun stuff, too, is that Mitch Fatale is going to be in town, guys. One of the funniest comics around. And July 12th and 13th, I'm going to be opening for him as well over at Uncle Vinny's Comedy Club. So in the summertime, when there's nothing good going on, come on down. Just, all right, take a break from hanging out at Bar A and DJs and just come hang out at Uncle Vinny's Comedy Club, man. But go ahead and check us out there, guys. We are moving to the seasonal format soon. This is going to be one of the last regular free episodes. We're trying to get our numbers up to 40. We want to have 40 episodes for free out there for you guys before we move to the new format, which is going to be seasonal, and we're looking into the Patreon options and stuff. I just can't afford to lose money on this show anymore, all right? I'm like Edgar Casey, Dad. I don't want to do it.
That's it.
I want to do it for free.
Of all humankind.
I want to do it for free, but I just, you know, we can't afford to anymore.
We got to provide this valuable information
He's
of
so
absolute
good.
American losers. It's like, true, this is the thing.
Kevin, if you were around when I was learning history, man, I would have aced history.
We got to build the foundation of losers so that That's the next right. generation could become winners.
Yes.
Well, we're going to be more on brand with the next episode that we have. We have a couple of really fun ones I want to talk about here. But like I said, I like to try to cater the episodes towards the guest. So because Cousin Pamela was up, I took a look at Mr. Edgar Casey and I said, I know what we're talking about.
You're really good at it. You're really good at it, yeah.
But Pam, anything you want to say to anybody at home?
Well, happy Father's Day to Dad and my husband.
And Gigi, put that down.
Yeah,
Gigi,
put that down. And I want to say hi to my girls, Lulu and Gigi. Lulu's in Japan right now, you know, taking her first big international trip with her daddy.
It was weird. I didn't realize that, but Lulu was asked, because how old is Lulu right now?
She's going to be 10.
Yeah, and they asked her, they said, Lulu, what is your dream? What do you want to do in life? And she goes, I want to be on a whaling ship. I want to harpoon a whale. And they said, we're going to have to go to Japan for this. And she goes, I'm willing.
There you go.
All right. Last count we had, she's murdered 3 whales
That's
at this
it.
Point. Is that correct?
Yep, that, and she just ate a bento box, so she's good.
See, I actually know what that is.
Yeah. And don't forget about Gigi. I want to wish her a happy birthday because her birthday is next Friday. So she's going to be 6.
Well, this will come out on Tuesday. So, ladies, happy birthday from all of us here over at American Loser. LP, it's Father's Day, dude. All right? Thanks for being a dad. As you once told me, childhood is 18 years. 30 years, that's a mortgage.
That's all right.
So, anything you want to add to the show here, sir?
Take a shit. You'll feel better.
Take it. And the Kahuna, man, I won't get emotional here, but I know that your dad's proud of you, buddy, because you do a great job, and your energy and your innocence you bring to the show every week means a lot to us. I prefer having you here, man. You're a fucking gem. You know that. So, yep, he's getting all teary-eyed now.
There you go.
He's crying on the equipment now, Ming. Ming,
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Also, I want to say thank you to Mike and Ming taking good care of us, as always, over here to Shared Universe. They told us that we were allowed to take one piece. We're allowed to take one photo off the wall and give it to every guest.
It is Father's Day.
Which one would you like here?
I don't know, man. I think that signed Stan Lee shield looks like a photo enough. Like,
yeah, I guess we could take that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we'll figure it all out. But no, guys, we are moving to the seasonal format. Stay tuned for that one here. We're going to wrap this bad boy up. If you enjoy the show, leave us a review on the old iTunes or something like that so we can take care of you guys. We want to get our inner core group of people, the people who have been here since day one. We want to take good care of you guys. But on that note, guys, I'm going to go eat some prime rib. And I got some nice cigars I got to give to my Uncle Paul and my cousin Greg. So, guys, that was Edgar Casey, American Loser.